Welcome, friends. This episode is sponsored by Fifth and Maiden. Check out the official jeweler of Fireside Mystery Theater at fifthandmaiden.com and on Instagram with the handle @fifthandmaiden. Mention you're a Fireside listener and that you'd like your order with a bit of shimmer and receive 15% off plus free tax and shipping in the 48 states. Now, come warm yourself by our fireside for a tale that will give you the chills. The following original story, The Disappearing Kiss, was part of our Missing Persons show. It was taped live at the Slipper Room on Sunday, March 26th, 2017.
Fate is quite a thing to contemplate. The lack of closure, the overpowering sense of unease that comes with not knowing. Never being able to know exactly how or why someone has vanished is the stuff of some of our worst nightmares. From the lost colony of Roanoke, Virginia, to the lingering mystery of Amelia Earhart, our hearts sink and our spines tingle at the thought of somehow being in their place and sharing in their fates. The following story, The Disappearing Kiss, reminds us that sometimes the only thing that never vanishes is fear itself.
All right, kiddos, it's 1:30. I'm closing early tonight. Last call for alcohol.
Come on, Gertie, like you have anywhere else to go.
Get stuffed, Don. Just for that, you get the honor of showing yourself out. Don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Don, you know there's still something to be said for the art of persuasion. Here, observe. Gertie, I know we're the only three customers left in your bar, but we don't really feel like moving on just yet, so what do you say? Keep my tab open, and please, let me buy you a drink while we're at it. And here, this is all for you.
See, fellas, she gets it. What are we drinking?
The dumbest question of the year.
I believe the song is called, If You Don't Know Me By Now,
You Will Never, Ever, Ever Know Me. Ooh.
Who sings that, the Jackson 5?
Yes. That would be Harold Melvin in the Blue Notes.
Featuring Teddy Pendergrass.
Someone else covered it in the 80s, though. Who was that?
Simply Red.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? I always liked that one. You know what? I'm going to go play it on the jukebox.
You know what? No, you're not. It's unplugged and it's staying unplugged.
Man, I just got back from a war zone in Kabul. I think I felt safer there.
Oh, I didn't know you served.
Don't worry, Gertie. My buddy Rick here isn't a member of our armed forces. He's a private contractor.
He's what you call a soldier of fortune.
Really? I picture you guys all having mustaches and goatees like Chuck Norris or something. And no, you still can't turn on the jukebox. Just sit there and drink a drink so we can get out of here already.
Who needs music when you can have abuse? It's the only reason I drink here, after all.
And because all of our secrets are safe here. Would you mind pouring us another, Gertie?
I know we're closing soon, but maybe pace yourself a bit, huh, Linda?
It's been one of those days. Pretty please.
That's the things I do for you regulars.
To Flitcraft.
Good old Flitcraft.
Who the hell is Flitcraft?
Only gumshoes like me and Linda know. It's a private detective thing.
He's someone that Dashiell Hammett, the mystery writer, made up. Hammett was and is the only mystery writer who matters. He was an actual detective himself, so he knew what the hell he was talking about.
All right. So the story goes, Flitcraft, a happy and successful guy with a nice family, and everything just up and disappears one day. You know, his wife has him investigated.
And he's found one day, happy and remarried with a brand new family and business, and totally without any sense of remorse. It turns out that on the day he went missing, Flitcroft had something of an existential moment that precipitated the whole thing.
A beam fell from a construction site an inch closer, and it would have taken his head right off.
And as Hammett put it, he felt like someone had taken the lid off of life and let him look at the works.
Even though his new life was very similar to the one he left behind, he adjusted himself to beams falling, and then no more of them fell, and he adjusted to them not falling.
I don't get it.
Just drink your drink.
Well, since we're on the subject of missing people, and it's just the four of us here, I guess I can tell you, well, as much as I'm comfortable telling you anyways.
Rick has some good stories. Real good ones.
I've been in this line of work for over 25 years, and I've witnessed all sorts of horrible things. But this one really stays with me, unfortunately. What we share here stays here, right?
You know I keep this bar as airtight as a Catholic priest's confessional. I may have quit the detective biz, but I still know how to keep my mouth shut.
Wait, Rick, the story you're talking about, is it that one about the military coup and those kids in El Salvador?
I told you about that? Jesus, I have to be more careful when I'm drinking with you. No. This was something completely different. I'm going to cover myself first and foremost by not naming the country or any of the names of any of the people involved. It was such a nightmare, I can't believe it really happened, but it did. I was staying in a cheap hotel on the rough side of town. I was finishing up a job there and was due to fly out in the next couple of days. I couldn't sleep and went out to the shabby restaurant downstairs for a drink. From out of the shadows comes this beggar, looking for anything I'd be willing to hand him. I remember his face, a bug-eyed, shaggy-haired character. Anyway, some armed forces showed up at the bar, and I was prepared for the derelict to be thrown in the gutter, as was often the case in places like this when bums target American tourists for loose change at the hotels. But that didn't happen. Instead, the soldiers just kind of palled around with him, gave the guy a flyer printed on shiny-looking foil-like paper, which the soldiers had a whole mess of in their hands. This beggar was also half expecting to get his skull cracked. But he relaxed after the first few flinches, and a grateful smile took over his face. He figured he was in the clear. Now, the beggar couldn't read, and approached the bartender to help him make out what was written on the flyer. And the bartender, who also spoke English, filled me in. The flyer was not just a flyer, but an invitation to a special cruise. A free cruise. Free entry, free food, free booze, free everything. And I stepped out of the bar and onto the street to see what was going on. These soldiers were handing these flyers out to every tramp in sight. A couple of them noticed me watching them and threw me a dirty look. So I retreated inside. Soon, a few loud diesel trucks rolled in and drove away, filled with loads of these characters with silver flyers clenched in their fists and crazed grins on their mugs. I caught a taxi and quietly had the driver shadow the fleet to the marina. And I watched them all, many of them older and sickly-looking folks, being helped onto what was probably once an impressive-looking old yacht. It was quite a sight. It was very surreal.
Where was this?
Like I said, can't really tell you. Anyway, the then dictator of this country had some really radical ideas about improving things in his homeland, always trying to purge this or that, and whatever he thought was holding his country back from its greater glory. The homeless population in the capital city was a great source of shame to him.
Don't tell me he...
Yeah. He had him sink that boat with all those people on it. Saw it with my own eyes.
Jesus.
I never saw anything like it. And I hope I never will again. I can't describe the sick feeling I had the next day as I rode out of there. Streets were empty. No beggars anywhere to be found.
course, it never made the papers, and anyone who brought it up was written off as a conspiracy theorist or a crackpot. But I saw it. I definitely saw it.
How many people do you think were on that yacht?
A few hundred is my guess.
Oh, man.
Well, since we're on the subject, we all have that one thing that's happened to us that gets us at our core. I've seen a number of terrible things on the job, both as a cop and as a PI. But there's one thing I've never been able to shake for the life of me. Sometimes it keeps me up at night. Her name was Emma Gersoff. She rang me up at my office. She was in a bad way. After settling on my retainer, I went to her place for a chat.
Miss Favey, I'm so grateful to you for being willing to come to my home. I've been too much of a wreck to go out in public ever since.
Mrs. Gersoff, the best place to start is always at the beginning.
Yes, right. Well, I called you because the police, after a while, just gave up.
Who was the detective on the case?
Detective Brock.
I know him. Pretty good at what he does. Would you be able to show me exactly where it happened?
I don't know.
Okay, Mrs. Gersoff. But understand, there's only going to be so much we can do just sitting here talking.
All right. I can show you.
Now your husband...
Jason. His name was Jason. He was out of his mind with depression when he lost the lawsuit. He was ruined. We were ruined, but I didn't think he would...
He opened this window, right?
Yes.
And he climbed out onto the balcony. And he jumped out.
I already went through all this with the police, Mrs. Favey. I called on you so I wouldn't have to...
I'm sorry, Mrs. Gersoff. But it's the only way I can hope to figure out what happened here. You said you saw him jump.
Yes.
But you didn't see him hit the ground.
He never hit the ground.
Well, this is where you start to lose me, Mrs. Gersoff. How do you know that? What happened then? He just flew away?
He disappeared. In midair.
You're claiming to have seen this with your own eyes.
I know it sounds insane, but really, I'm being honest with you. There has to be some sort of explanation. I've been praying, holding on to the hope that somehow he's all right, that we can find him.
All right, Mrs. Gersoff. Here's what I'd like to do. I'm going to take a look around the house, and then I'm going to examine the backyard below the balcony and see what I can find there. But I have to be square with you. I'm an honest PI. I don't want to take your money if all I'm going to do is a repeat of what Detective Brock and his boys did earlier.
I was afraid you'd say that.
Now, Mrs. Gersoff.
You think I'm insane. Well, maybe I am.
Mrs. Gersoff.
I think it'd be best if you just left, Miss Favey. I'm sorry that I took up your time.
I'll take a look around the outside, all right? If anything leaps out at me, I'll...
Great. You do that. Thank you.
I've replayed it in my head more times than I'd like to count. I walked down the 3 flights of stairs of the mansion and let myself out. As I promised her, I decided to check out the grounds. It was mid-November. The trees were bare and the green was all but drained from the grass. They had a good amount of property, but by that point, I guess they let it all go to seed. Nothing. I couldn't find a thing to make any of this click. I looked over my shoulder to get a final glance at the house and then...
Jason!
Mrs. Gersoff! Emma!
My Jason!
Emma, get down from there!
Jason, my love, I'm coming to you.
Wait, no!
I forgive you, honey. I'm coming to you.
No!
Oh, my God. What? What just...
So what are you saying? She jumped from the balcony?
What the hell happened? The same thing as the husband?
Since it seems like we're all drunk enough to enter the confessional tonight, I'll admit something to you I've never told another living soul. I hightailed it. I ran. I never told Detective Brock or anyone else that I ever met or dealt with Emma Gersoff when it was discovered she was missing. That we ever talked on the phone, that we met at her home, that she was willing to hire me to investigate her husband's disappearance. I covered all of my tracks so it wouldn't come back to haunt me. And thankfully, it never has.
You sure about that? You seem pretty haunted to me.
Okay, I think it's time to cut you off, Linda.
Hold on, Gertie. Linda here is many things, but one thing she is not is a liar. She's also the best private detective in this town. Next to me, that is.
You believe that hogwash?
One more round for the road. I'm buying this time.
Finally.
This is it, guys. I swear it.
Just pour it already, would you, Gertie? Cheers. In our line of work, it's always those missing persons cases that get stuck in your system. The ones that go unsolved, that is. Did you know that last year almost 700,000 people were reported missing? In this country alone, you realize how many people that is?
Wow, that is a lot.
Yeah. And do you realize the expense, the amount of time and effort required to find just one of those people? That's why most of them just stay missing.
It's true.
But some people are better off missing.
Don, I think I get what you mean, but you're starting to sound a little like that dictator I was telling you about.
I had a case once. A little like Linda's that I never talked about it with anybody. I've never had one like it before or since.
Please, have a seat, Mr. Lesser.
Thanks. Now, what can I do for you, Mr. Haskin?
Here, help yourself. You like almonds?
I'm allergic to nuts.
Well, that's a shame. Haskin almonds are what made our family wealthy, but to tell you the truth, I'm also allergic to certain nuts. Nuts like my nephew, Ryan.
Okay.
He thinks he's some kind of artist or something. Well, we humored him long enough, and finally, I had to lay down the law.
Lay down the law?
He's horrible. No talent whatsoever. One day, he's a painter. The next day, a filmmaker. Next thing you know, he's a musician. Doesn't ever finish anything, and thinks he can buy himself an artistic career. Not gonna happen. So I had to lay down the law.
You cut off his funds?
Yes. Well, what else could I do? It's not helping anyone. I told him he had to make a choice. Either start working for the family business full-time or stop siphoning off cash from our real estate for his artistic endeavors.
And Ryan's father?
My brother, Andrew. My late brother, that is. Well, he would approve of my decision. Ryan's spoiled behavior caused him a lot of grief. Upon my brother's death, I became my nephew's legal guardian, a fate I would wish on no one.
So, he didn't inherit his father's estate.
His inheritance was placed in a discretionary trust, and I was appointed trustee of my brother's will.
Gotcha.
He doesn't inherit the estate until I pass on. Until then, I decide when and if he deserves any funds.
Gotcha. So, you cut him off completely?
No, he gets a small monthly stipend. About the same amount as an actual struggling artist in New York City makes.
Well, he can't be too happy about that.
Well, you're quite right, Mr. Lesser. Well, one would think this would have a humbling effect on my nephew. It only seems to have made things worse. You see, in an act of sheer desperation, he broke into this house and ran away with a family heirloom, which is quite valuable.
So you want me to find him and recover this heirloom?
Right, but you can leave him where you find him. Just return to us what he has stolen. I'm calling on you instead of the police because we don't want the press to get a hold of this story.
Right.
Right. Discretion is key here, you understand? We're not looking to press charges.
Understood. What is the stolen heirloom I'm looking for?
A pair of gold earrings.
What are they worth?
A lot.
Okay. Are they insured?
No.
Mr. Haskin, have you told me everything I need to know here? Something tells me you haven't.
He was last seen in Brooklyn. I suggest you start searching for him now.
I should have thought twice about taking the case, but it was too much dough to pass up at the time. I knew right away that there was more to Arthur Haskins' story, but I kidded myself into thinking I could do what he wanted while still keeping the blinders on. It didn't take long for me to find Ryan Haskin. He was a short guy, and a kind of chubby, balding, swarthy, but with dark blue, serious eyes that nearly defied his oafishness. He sort of looked like a declawed Al Capone. He was hiding out in a private room over a billiard hall in Flushing. The next day I shadowed him and ended up at the Alitalia terminal at JFK. He was perspiring heavily when the girl he was looking for arrived at the gate. She was one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen. Olive skin with eyes the color of Haskin almonds. He ran to her, but it struck me as odd that they didn't touch one another. The look of longing on his face told me he was clearly smitten, but they did not hug or kiss or even shake hands. He carried her bags to a cab, and I continued to follow them. Later on that night, we all ended up in a darkened area of Flushing Meadow Park. There was no one around I could see but Ryan and the girl. In the cover of night, I was finally able to get close enough to hear them.
Please, Kara, I've waited so long. I've done what you've asked. The hour is approaching.
Are you sure you're ready, Ryan Haskin?
I'm ready.
You have proved yourself to me, Ryan Haskin.
I'm ready to give myself to you.
You are?
You know, Kara, I've never given myself to anyone or anything, well, except my art.
Then you are ready to return them to me. What your family stole from mine.
That was so long ago. It had nothing to do with me. But I'm here to right that wrong. To make amends.
You have them, then.
Yes. But will you accept my love? Will you let me touch you at last?
I will. You can.
Then take them. Take the earrings.
Thank you, Ryan Haskin.
You're crying.
How sweetly the metal pierces the flesh. Oh. Oh, to wear them again. I never thought I'd live to see this day.
I don't know how to say this, but you're even more beautiful with tears in your eyes.
Kiss me. Kiss me, Ryan Haskin.
It was harder to see what was going on than it was to hear it. But I could still make out that he was going to finally make his move, and then a great light blew up all around him. For what was probably less than a second, I saw his lips pressed to hers. Then another flare burst around him, and then he... He vanished. Just like that. The girl then stood up. I couldn't see her face in the darkness, but I could tell you now what I did see. the earrings, which were now glowing with a burning red-orange phosphorescence. She saw me. She began to walk toward me slowly. And I never saw anything so strange. She was about 10 feet away from me when I did something I never did on a case like this before. I ran and ran until my legs just gave out. You want to know something? I haven't stopped looking over my shoulder for those orange glowing lights ever since. Whenever I'm alone in the dark, I know one day she's going to be waiting for me.
I'll be waiting for you too, Don. Tomorrow when we open. All right, everybody. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Since you've gone, the moon, the sun, the stars in the sky know the reason why I cry. Love divine once was mine, now you've gone. Since you've gone, my heart, my lips, my tear-dimmed eyes, a lonely soul within me cries. I acted smart, broke your heart, now you've gone. What I'd give for the lifetime I've wasted, for the love I have tasted. I acted smart, broke your heart, now you've gone. Smart, broke your heart, now you've gone. Oh, what I'd give for the lifetime I've wasted, for the love I have tasted. Love divine once was mine, now you've gone.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Ally Silva in Big Boss Woman.
James, show some respect and take off your hat.
Oh, right, sorry.
Right now, we tread on sacred ground.
Remind me again, Ally, why have we been summoned here to Fifth and Maiden headquarters?
Headquarters? Headquarters! You must call this magnificent 18-story building by its proper name, the 5M Tower. It's the nucleus, the central nervous system, the cerebral cortex, the cream filling and the tangy sponge cake of the Fifth and Maiden Empire.
Cream filling?
The big boss wants a word with us.
Oh, about what?
I don't know, but it must be something of the highest priority.
What are you doing?
Entering the passcode.
Let me guess, the passcode is shimmer.
No, it's 1234, shimmer, followed by the pound sign.
Oh, finally, you're here.
Look, James, at long last we meet. We see before us Kelly F. Maiden, the founder, CEO, and divine sovereign of Fifth and Maiden Handcrafted Jewelry. Oh, great leader, we have traveled from far.
Great. Did you two finally get all the gum scraped off the bottom of the conference room table?
What?
A simple yes or no will do, and...
But, Miss F. Maiden, we're...
Also, apparently not willing to take the time to learn the difference between muesli and granola.
Oh, but we are...
If you did, you wouldn't keep mixing the two together, the way I specifically asked you not to. Here, does this taste like granola to you?
Oh, I think I just ate dried cat food.
But... So...
it's not bad, actually.
I've had it. You think you're the only two interns I can find in this dirty town?
Intern? Intern? What did you just call me? Madam, I'll have you know that James Reeser is nobody's fool or flunky or stooge or intern.
James Reeser? Oh, my. And let me guess... You must be Allie Silver.
Silva, not Silver.
Oh, so sorry. Ah, yes. My loyal pitch persons from Mystery Fireplace Theater. You'll have to forgive me. You sound a little different in person. They say the radio adds 10 pounds.
You mean the camera?
Oh, so why have you called us here, great leader?
Ah, yes. The reason I called you here... I don't know. It seems I can't remember.
Was it to keep reminding our listeners that Fifth and Maiden Handcrafted Jewelry offers wholesale organic luxury jewelry and housewares? The blank clean lines?
With a bit of shimmer?
With a bit of shimmer? Made with exquisite natural finds directly from the stunning California coastline? That all Fifth and Maiden pieces are handcrafted in their SoCal studio? And to learn more, just go to their website, fifthandmaiden.com, or their Instagram page, at Fifth and Maiden. And that Fifth and Maiden are the official jewelers of Fireside Mystery Theater?
Was that the reason why?
Probably. I think it might also have something to do with us being low on almond milk. Would you two mind making a run? Make sure to get a receipt.
And that concludes our program. Don Lesser was played by Michael Pate. Gertie the bartender was played by Allison Gwynn. Rick was played by James Reeser. Emma Gersoff was played by Mary Murphy. Arthur Haskin was played by Eric Davey Gislison. Ryan Haskin was played by Bill Heidrich. Kara was played by Casey LaForest. And Linda Favey was played by me, Allie Silva. The Disappearing Kiss was written by Sylvan Sandovar and directed by Annabelle Rollison. The musical performance, Gone, written by Smokey Rogers, was performed by Sylvan Sandovar. Our show is produced by Gustavo Rodriguez, Daniel and Rebecca Graves, and myself, for Fireside Mystery Productions. Our theme music is by Jason Graves. Our musical score was improvised by Steve Blanco. Our sound designer and engineer is Greg Russ. Our technical director is Johnny Goddard. And our production coordinator is Dahlia Morali. If you like what we're doing, my dears, do please take a moment to give us a rating and review on iTunes. If you can invest a minute to do that, you'll be doing a lot to help us grow. Clue us into your favorite episodes or characters, or anything you'd like to hear more or less of in the future. Your feedback means the world to us. Okay, fabulous fans, rousing radio theater, and astute audio drama lovers of the New York City area, join us for our next live podcast taping at the Slipper Room on Sunday, April 30th. It's our penultimate show of the season. An ear for music, tales carefully tuned to the key of suspense. We promise to show you a good time. Get your tickets now at slipperroom.com. Why not show the world how much you love our show by rocking a Fireside Mystery Theater t-shirt, hoodie, phone case, mug, notebook, sticker, or any of the other fab items adorned with our logo? There are even onesies for the wee ones. Go to the merch page at firesidemysterytheater.com and scope out all the goods. You can share our love with the world. Take a pic with your swag and tag us on Instagram or Twitter with our handle, @firesidemystery. Next week, what would you do if the face staring back at you on the back of a milk carton was your very own? Find out in next week's episode, Expiration Date. This is Allie Silva bidding you a fond farewell until next we meet. Hopefully by now, you know to mind the shadows.